Welcome to Radio La Vida of Itinerary of the Imperial High Haikian. That is a researching innovative project where we are going to speak about the Palace of Cercadilla. The Cercadilla Palace is an archaeological site located in the city of Córdoba in Andalusia, Spain. It was commissioned by Maximianus Herculeus in the late 3rd century and early 4th century AD. The palace was discovered in 1521 when Joaquin detected the cryptoportico and an associated building. It was not discovered again until 1955 by Samuel de los Santos. Research continued until the beginning of the 90s, when, without having finished the excavation of the palace, the construction of the railway network was authorized. This work will destroy part of the archaeological remains due to the lowering of the land for the benefit of the tracks, which divided the site into two places. After many protests from archaeologists against the Junta de Andalucía, they managed to stop the works and the University of Córdoba got control over Cercadilla, making several studies concluding that it was a palace. Finally, the Córdoba train station was built, destroying the 60% of the site. Of the 2 hectares preserved, it was divided to open to the public until 2015, when it was closed and the interest has been lost. The archaeological site of Cercadilla Palace was a luxurious Roman residence consisting of several buildings, including a large Roman villa with several rooms, gardens, and pools, all decorated with great artistic qualities, as well as a series of buildings or annexes, such as bath, an amphitheater, and a Roman circus. It is thought to have been used by an important member of the Roman aristocracy. It is believed that the Cercadilla Palace was used as a place of rest and recreation for high Roman officials and aristocrats visiting the city of Cordoba, one of the most important cities of that time. It also thought that the palace may have been used for administrative purposes and official representation. The Cercadilla Palace owned its name to a Latin term circatella, which means a small fence or enclosure. Therefore, the Cercadilla Palace was named because it was built in a walled area with a protective enclosure. It is important to know that over the centuries, the name of the palace has undergone several variations, as it has also been known as Almunia de Alcazunda, Alcázar del Rey Don Rodrigo, Alcázar Real de Córdoba, or Palacio del Emperador. However, the most common and widespread name is the Cercadilla Palace. The Roman Palace of Cercadilla was located in Roman time on the outskirts of the city of Córdoba, in a rural area near the Guadalquivir River. The Roman villa was located in an elevated place that allowed to control the access to the area and to defend itself from the possible enemy attacks, which contribute to the contribution of the wall around the palace complex to reinforce its protection. In addition, this hill gave its owner a privileged natural environment with a breathtaking panoramic views. In ancient times, the area was known as the Vega del Guadalquivir and was characterized by its mild climate, fertile land, and abundant water resource. The city of Cordoba was located about 3 kilometers east of the Roman villa of Cercadilla, which facilitates access to the service and supplies necessary products for the daily life of the villa residents. Natalia, what is the history of the Palace of Cercadilla?
Well, Manuel, the history of the Cercadilla is very, very interesting. In 1865, the Córdoba-Málaga line officially came into service, the construction of which had been the responsibility of the Compañía del Ferrocarril de Córdoba-Málaga. At first, a station of its own was not built, and this line reached the station of the Compañía del Ferrocarril from Córdoba to Seville, making a share use of it. Also, in this time, the possibility of building a joint station was considered. Also accommodating the planned Córdoba-Belme line, the under construction, in the end, this possibility never materialized, which it was very sad. Over the years, they would generate many conflicts for rail traffic. The Compañía del Ferrocarril de Córdoba and Belme ended up building its own station in Córdoba that will receive the name Cercadilla because of the land in which it was located. The facilities will came into service in this first half of 1874, with the passengers building very easy. At the end of 1870s, the Andalusia Railway Company will end up taking control of the Cordoba Belmez Railway and all its facility, including Cordoba Cercadilla. This was located next to the north side of Avenida de America in front of the current Los Amayas Street. It was the official station where the Andalusian Railway Company trains from Almorchon, Malaga, and Martinez stop, as the central station belonged to the Central North Railway Company, where trains from Seville and Madrid stop. The existence of two stations created problems due to the fact that there was never a passenger transfer between them, despite the fact that they were linked to each other by rail. On the other hand, the Andaluces company never built a passenger building according to the movement of people that Cordoba had and maintained the original structure. Despite the numerous complaints that there were from the authorities and the population. In 1922, the company Andaluces carried out some works for the extension of the beach of the roads in the complex of Cercadilla, finding during the same remains of a Roman site. Isn't that amazing? The archaeological activities were directed by Joaquín María de Navascues. Throughout 1931, a double track was stalled between the Córdoba Cercadillas and Valchillón stations. In 1936, during the Second Republic, Andaluces was seized by the state due to its economic problems and assigned the management of its infrastructure to the National Company of Western Railways. When the Civil War ended, they were unified into a single company called Renfe. So you probably know about it. In 1940, is when it became a halt or neighborhood station, being frequently used by the residents of Ciudad Jardín to save the short journey to the central station. This was the stop where the trains from the Sierra stopped in the post-war years, and there was a bridge there that kept watch and prevent the entry of black marketers. But even with this control, there was a good deal of edible products entering. And this station was the deposit of the steam locomotives at first. Later, the most modern ones, such as diesel electrics, as well as the train school for railway men. At the end of 1971, the Cercadilla station was closed, suppressing the activities that were still carried out there, such as tick sales or merchandise invoicing. The service were centralized in the central station and the personnel transferred to the other point. However, Renfe kept the Cercadilla facilities active, the tracks being used for siding work and parking empty ones, or also for training trails. At the end of the 1980s, it was agreed by the public administration to start the construction of a new railway station for Cordoba. Thus, in November 1990, work began to dismantle the Cercadilla's facilities, which disappeared definitely, and that was very sad. The Cercadilla was not important just for their history. It was also important for its art and architecture, which it was amazing. And Eva is going to explain you about it.
The palace compound occupied 8 hectares in total, a sign of the great power that Maximilian held. It was a closed construction, located to the northwest of the city and to the north of the theater, and which was connected to the city although a single span, preceded by 4 columns that announced as a sign of importance. The water that supplies it entered from the Nifeum, a kind of fountain. It was made up of 2 different bodies, one of a military nature and the other of a palatial nature. Most of its walls were 5 meters high, although in some cases this measure decreased to 3 or even 1.5 meters. The floor plan of the Cercadilla Palace tells us that we are looking at a unique building. This is organized around a semicircular exedra, but this is not an original design by the architect. Rather, it is from the Roman tradition. It is the layout of the buildings that give it originality. For construction, the Opus Caementicium technique was used, that is, concrete made with lime, covered with alternating cases of ashlar and bricks. It is a technique that had not been used before in the city and will not be used again. The main access to the palace was flanked by two semicircular towers. The entrance door gave access to the large square of more than 25,000 meters square of military character. From this square, there was an access to another square that was palatine in nature, which was articulated around a cryptoporticus, and which was separated from the outside by a turret facade, and of a military appearance through which slaves and servants passed. The cryptoportico was semicircular and semi-subterranean in layout, measuring 109 meters in diameter. It also had the role of being a binding and centralizing element for the rest of the architectural unit of the palace complex, to which it gave access through a corridor, porticoid and columned. Openings open from it that allows passage to the other buildings in the palace group. Through here, there was access to two twin rooms with a basilical plan and which had the function of hosting the palace officials. The main building of the entire complex, the one that preserved over it, was the large reception room located in the center of the entire palace. This has an strictly longitudinal plan, a single rectangular nave crowned by an apse with a gable roof and a flat wooden roof preceded by a portico. It has an important sacred character because the emperor appeared in it. On both sides are banquet rooms, bath, nymphaeum, and classroom that could have served as audience room for important court figures or for officials related to the administration of Hispania. The throne room stands out in this central area of the complex, where the emperor received these important figures in audience. Next to it are the hot springs, for the emperor and the people he trusts. The central basilica had an height of 10 meters, standing out from the rest of the buildings and thus showing its important role. The westernmost building of the entire complex and the one farthest from the entrance at the archaeologists have interpreted it as the rest area of the owner of this building. To the south and north, there were banquet halls, one closed for winter and one open for summer. These were heavily fortified for added security. In the 12th century, a farmhouse was built, linked to the production of oil and the manufacturers of ceramics. From this moment on, there is no record of occupation in this area, which was used as an orchard until the 9th century, when it was transformed into an industrial and railway area. Due to its great magnitude, the site is of official interpretation, and there is no consensus among the scientific community. And now, Christina, could you tell us about the remains?
Well, about the excavation, the first archaeological remains were discovered in 1922 during works to expand the track yard at the Cercadilla station. At that time, the magnitude of the building in front of which its excavator was located was not intuited, despite the fact that they had located part of the complete vault of the Cryptoporticus. The remains were covered again and the area remained under the train tracks during the following decades. The archaeological complex was discovered in 1991 during the works to bury the railway and build the new Ave station in the city. Due to the haste with which they wanted to finish the works of the station, a large part of its surface got destroyed. The entire area affected by the station, the platforms and the tracks, while other areas are hidden under the avenues, streets and houses that surround it. The image that Cercadilla intends to offer the visitor is that of the superimposition of the modern city and the extension of the site below it. To locate ourselves beforehand in Cercadilla, there is a Roman palace built between 293 to 305 AD, attributed to the Roman Emperor Maximiano Herculeo. At the site, we find a closed palace orientated towards the northwest of the walled city, organized into two different construction bodies, one for the reception of a military nature and another of a strictly palatial nature. As my classmate Eva has said, the door gave access to a large closed square whose physiognomy looks like a fortress. From this square, there was access to another fully palatine organized around a cryptoporticus, that is, gallery or covered corridor, and separated from the outside by a military tower. The chronology of the building has been established thanks to the discovery of an epigraph from the 5th century, from the north bath of the Frigidarium of the Baths, referring to the Tetrarchs Constantius Chlorus and Galerius Maximian as noble Caesars. This allows the construction of the Palatine complex between the years 219 to 305 DC, which allows to be associated with the current emperor of that Tetrarchy, specifically the person in charge of the western part of the empire, Maximiano Herculeo. Also, cemetery. So far, around 150 individuals have been excavated, although the presence of many more is known and suspected. The oldest have been dated to the 6th and 7th centuries. This cemetery area continued to function as such at least until the beginning of the 11th century, as can be seen on a tombstone reused from a previous burial which alludes to Cristofora, which means servant of God, buried in the 10th century. In 2018, a restoration project began after the closure of the complex, allocating a budget of €400,000, for which it is intended to restore the baths so they can be visited. However, this project is still today in the drafting phase. The archaeological complex was opened since the summer of 2005. However, with the arrival of the crisis in 2015, it was forced to cut more and more hours to finally end up closing during that period. The consistory agreed to invest about €60,000 in the facilities while about €300,000 in the restoration. The director, David Luque, cannot provide dates for its reopening but said it would take place during the next term, which was not true. In turn, an agreement was agreed with Pablo Dolavide University so that it could excavate and investigate, but said restoration was never carried out. This being a debt to the city of Cordoba till the day of today in 2023.
Why is it important? What is its worth, you may be asking? To begin with, Cercadilla is located on top of a Roman villa from the first AD, which in fact gives the palace a special archaeological value. As Christina said before, from the excavation of the site, we have been able to recover statues, mosaics, and so on. And furthermore, the palace holds historical significance due to all the civilizations that have made their way through it. Last but not least, the cultural importance due to the heritage, the art, the landscape, and the value people give it from Cordoba. I will also point out that it gives us knowledge about our past and helps us buildings the feeling of belonging into a society with its great symbolic value as touristic, archaeological, and historical site. Now, continuing with its current status, we know that the state of Cercadilla's palace is in ruin. The palace is practically forgotten, although you can somehow appreciate the original greatness shown, for example, in several facades or in the structures of the building. Nevertheless, it is undeniable that the palace is in a great stage of damage. The building has suffered from the passage of time, the lack of maintenance, and the exposure to climate elements continually and hugely, which explain the bad state of much of the structure. The damage is shown practically in the whole palace, from the remains of the tower to the gardens surrounding the palace. Nowadays, the palace is closed to the public due to its dangerous state, between quotation marks, and the abandonment of Cercadilla's palace starting in the 19th century when the land and hence the palace was sold to particular people. Some people point out that this was a mistake from the state. However, for that time, we must think that people didn't think of
archaeological sites as something that must be protected. During the last decades, the Cercadilla Palace has suffered many damages like fire, vandalism, which again explains the bad taste of the palace, basically. As Cristina stated before, the palace has been involved under several projects of restoration and conservation throughout the years, but none have been successfully carried out, mostly because of the lack of monetary funding or political support. Now, I believe there is a project looking into detail whether it can be restored. However, I think it does not have a particular date to start. So we are yet to see what happens. As a fact, right now, Cercadilla is closed and it's impossible to visit. Nevertheless, we must not forget that it is still one of the many touristical historical places of Córdoba due to its cultural and archaeological relevance at the moment. And as far as we know, the authorities and cultural organizations keep working, trying to find solutions that allow its restoration and worth. Now, do you think that they are truly interested in the site?
Not really, in my opinion, because they actually promised to reopen it along several candidacies, and nobody made it, has made it. It is a lot of money invested, and we ask in the university and the people of Córdoba ask ourselves, where is it?
I agree, and I also believe that it is understandable that from the point of view of politician who is not mastering the subject, that it must be difficult to open this mine to the importance of heritage. However, it is an unique palace in Spain and it must be protected. And before finishing, I'd like to say that the construction of the Ave train truly affected the archaeological site. And in fact, there was a huge debate about this between politicians and archaeologists, people involved in the matter, really, about whether to continue with the constructions or stop it completely. And later, it has been shown that the train has helped Córdoba with so much connections to other cities, leading to great economical increase and so on. These problems with Cercadilla's Palace and the Ave train has shown the issue between cities that have enormous amount of history on their backs and the natural growth of urbanism. Literally, what should we have more into account? Because at the end of the day, Córdoba has won a train, but it has lost part of one of the most important imperial palaces from the Roman Empire, from the Roman times. I wanted to let that discussion in your minds as we finish today's podcast. I hope you find it interesting. Have a great day and goodbye.